Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one. Composer and jazz pianist Duke Ellington was born on this very day back in 1899. Duke was, of course, just his nickname. What was his actual name? Was it A. Abe Lincoln Ellington? Was it B. Edward Kennedy Ellington? Was it C. Frederick Douglass Ellington? Or was it D. Martin Luther Ellington? Duke Ellington, what was his actual name? And question number two, it was on this day back in 1976 that singer Bruce Springsteen did what? Was it A, he drove his motorcycle up three flights of stairs in the Washington Monument? Was it B, he jumped the fence at Graceland in an attempt to see his idol, Elvis Presley? Was it C, he gave a free concert for the charity event called Farm Aid? Or was it D, he recorded his hit album, Born in the USA? 1976, on this day, Bruce Springsteen did what? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of April 29th. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1786, that the Mozart opera, The Marriage of Figaro, premiered in Vienna. The opera was performed only 9 times in Vienna, due in part to political and competitive intrigue, but was much more favorably received in Prague, to where it moved in the following year. Marriage and Figaro, 1786, today. And it was 54 years ago today, 1968, that the musical Hair opened on Broadway after a 6-week limited run at the Public Theater in 1967. Hair opened on Broadway at the Biltmore Theater, April 29, 1968. The musical played 17 previews and 1,750 performances before closing July 2nd, 1972, earning Tony Award nominations for Best Direction and Best Musical. Hair, today, 1968. Tchaikovsky's Piano Concerto 1 in B-flat minor introduces this article titled Classical Music, a Rule Change for Russians. Classical music likes to think of itself this way, floating serenely above politics in a realm of beauty and unity, said Zachary Wolf in the New York Times, but two of the genre's biggest stars, Russian conductor Valery Gergiev and Russian opera diva Anna Netrebko, have been abruptly exiled from their charmed dominion because both have been reluctant to condemn Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine. Gergiev, a longtime friend of Putin's, was stripped of prominent conducting posts in Europe and barred from leading the Vienna Philharmonic in three concerts at New York City's Carnegie Hall. His career, built over decades, seems to have unraveled in just a few days. Netrebko, meanwhile, had her opening appearances canceled at the Metropolitan Opera, then withdrew from planned engagements in Europe. For the arts world, the sudden blacklisting of the two stars raises a host of difficult questions, beginning with how much distance must be preserved between art and politics. For the various cultural institutions involved, it's easy to make smug, self-congratulatory, grand postures and gestures, said Kelly Jane Torrance in the New York Post, but cultural exchange comes even more crucial at times of political tension, and it's unfair to artists like Gergiev to demand that they denounce Putin, a dictator who wields power over their very lives. No one has been a better ambassador of his country's culture than Gergiev, and now U.S. and European audiences will probably never see the 68-year-old lead an orchestra again. Still, it would be naive to suggest that artists of Gergiev's and the Trebko's stature were ever apolitical figures, said Annie Levine in the New York Observer. As both rose to prominence, we only chose to treat them as such. Today, there's no good answer about how best to treat them, but we can say this. War is bad for culture, not least because it turns our cultural institutions into bastions of jingoism. Gergiev, however, richly deserved censure, said Alex Rose in The New Yorker, a posterity who wields enormous influence in the cultural sphere. He holds a quasi-governmental post in Russia, has been backing Putin's military abuses for years, and accumulated oligarchic wealth in the process. If he had performed at Carnegie Hall during Russia's invasion, it would have been a Putinist triumph. The Trebko, however, falls into a different category, though she has her own history of Putin worship, once telling Newsweek that she wished the rumors were true that she had been his lover. She holds no post in Russia, lives in Vienna, and has at least decried the war. Beware the moralizing stampede to demand that every Russian artist denounce Putin. They and their families live under a dictatorship we don't. There is no way of knowing what constraints musicians labor under, what consequences they face. And in jazz and blues music news, we have this article titled, Musicians with North Carolina Ties Were Up for This Year's Grammy Awards. This is written by Jessica Banov, News and Observer, 3rd of April, 2022. The 64th Grammy Awards nominees waited months to hear whether they will take home the music industry's biggest awards. That included many North Carolinian musicians and groups who were nominated for awards back in November. But a spike in COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations postponed the ceremony to April the 3rd. The nominees included Durham jazz singer Nina Freelon, who was nominated this year for Time Traveler in the Best Jazz Vocal Album category. The nomination is the sixth in her career, with the first in 1996. Pierce Freelon, her son, was nominated for Best Children's Album for Black to the Future. He also contributed a song on the Grammy-nominated album All One Tribe in that same category. Durham singer Reese Palmer also contributed a song to the nominated children's albums All One Tribe by the One Tribe Collective, as well as a song to Activate by 123 Andres. Durham duo Sylvanesso was nominated for Best Dance Electronic Music Album for Free Love. This was their second nomination, following 2017's What Now? In the same category. And in music research and technology, we have this article titled, This Piano Doesn't Have Any Black Keys. How Will It Sound? This is published in ClassicFM.com, 30th of July 2020, by Maddie Shaw Roberts. It's just like a regular grand piano, but all the keys are white. A full-size grand piano has 52 white and 36 black keys. But what would happen if you took away all the accidentals? This curious Shinhokan model, spotted by a pianist at the Musical Instruments Fair in Japan, does just that. With no black keys fitted, the 52 white keys take up the full space of the keyboard, with no tail to allow space for black keys over the top. The keys are all head, so to speak, full oblongs, the same width from top to bottom. It looks rather sleek and beautiful, but confusing to play. But can it achieve the same depth and color without the black keys? In the video uploaded to YouTube by Japanese software company Micronet Company Ltd., a pianist plays an arrangement of Dr. Gratis and Parnassum from Children's Corner Suite by Debussy, which develops everything in C major. The pianist, who blogged about her find in 2014, says, I can play almost all songs in C major without a black key. But I can't help but feel that it's quite different from the original song. According to her blog, the instrument has the same number of strings as a normal piano, but with the black key hammer action removed, so you can literally only play in C major. With no 24 major and minor keys, let alone so many rich colors, any change in tone can only be achieved by playing the white keys, and with no separation of black and white keys, you must have to relearn all your note references. Innovative though it may be, this just seems like a piano tuner's nightmare. Carly Simon's, appropriately titled No One Does It Better, introduces our rock and pop music news. It's an article simply titled, Women Rock. It's put out by the ncsymphony.org. Celebrate the soundtrack of your life and the women who changed rock and roll forever. Guest vocalists and the symphony perform hits from Carole King, Tina Turner, Janis Joplin, Pat Benatar, Carly Simon, Heart, and more, featuring songs such as I Feel the Earth Move, What's Love Got to Do with It, Proud Mary, Hit Me with Your Best Shot, and more. That's Friday, May 6, 2022 at 8 p.m., and Saturday, May 7th at 3 p.m. and 8 p.m., My Mandy Concert Hall, Woolner Stage, Raleigh. Sarah Hicks, conductor. Bree Cassill, vocalist. Emily Drennan, vocalist. Shayna Steele, vocalist. Get your seats today before they're gone. Phone 919-733-2750 or go to ncsymphony.org for additional detail and ticket information. And in local music news, as crime climbed in North Carolina City, Father formed Drumline Music Program to help at-risk youth. This is written by Laura Brock, April 22, 2022, News and Observer. Alondo Mitchell doesn't shy away from the details of a fatal drive-by shooting that shook his Goldsboro community in 2006. There was a kid who had got shot in one of the projects, Mitchell said. He was sitting in a car. Someone came up behind him and fatally shot him. Mitchell says the frequency and severity of the crimes he has witnessed served as a catalyst. He had to do something about the violence, he said. That something came to him in a dream. I literally said, God, I'm tired of this. Give me an idea, said Mitchell, a 49-year-old father of two, in an interview. That night, I laid down, went to sleep, and I dreamed about starting a drumline. That year, he launched a youth drumline to keep at-risk kids off the street. Over 16 years, it has evolved into a Drummers World Performing Arts School, acquiring 501c3 nonprofit status in the summer of 2016, and performs all over eastern North Carolina. From an operational standpoint, it can be a challenge to keep the program running. Mitchell relies on the community's support and his family's income to pay for equipment, repairs, and uniforms. Mitchell hopes to eventually find a permanent space for the program. Then there are his drummers, struggles from finding transportation to come to practice, to occasional brushes with the law. My goal is to help youth live past the age of 21 and be a productive citizen in their community, he said. If they'll be a productive citizen, hey, my job is done. Mitchell seeks to help the children of Goldsboro while they're young. A Drummer's World typically serves children ages 6 to 18. Many come from the local high school public school system. The drumline is modified after the slow-style marching bands at historically black colleges and universities. Samira Mitchell, Alondo's oldest daughter, laughs when she says her father was inspired by her favorite film, Drumline, that she watched growing up. In 2019, Goldsboro had a violent crime rate of approximately 415 cases per 100,000 residents. By comparison, the Raleigh-Cary Metropolitan Division had 172.6 violent crimes per 100,000 residents. When Mitchell got his inspiration for the community drumline, it wasn't long before word spread about his plans, though he only had one little snare drum, without a stand, and didn't have the money or the space to bring the drumline together. But he received an outpouring of support from acquaintances and strangers alike. My barber, for example, asked me, "Could you use these?" I say, "Yes, sir," 3 days before I started. Mitchell said he took apart the drum set and packed the drums into his SUV. He reassembled them to work as marching band drums, but without stands or harnesses, and relied on tables and school desks, and went from there, he said. During its 16-year run, A Drummer's World has expanded. There are currently about 100 members, but only a fraction of them make it to practice consistently because of transportation barriers or lack of support at home. The drumline has performed at smaller community events, like at the Goldsboro Boys and Girls Club, to larger ones like the 2019 Raleigh Christmas Parade and football halftime shows at local HBCUs. It has since expanded to include a majorettes team called Golden Explosion Dancers. The article skips down and ends with this. Mitchell said he is proud of the drummers who have turned their lives around after dabbling in crime. Some have even gone on to college to play in marching bands, he said. But that's not the ultimate goal, said Samira Mitchell, his daughter. It means the world to me that I can be able to brighten up someone's day and help grow them in each and every area of their life, she said. Being able to push them towards maybe their dreams, their goals, and visions that they have. So how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, composer and jazz pianist Duke Ellington, was born on this very day back in 1899. Duke was, of course, just his nickname. What was his actual name? Was it A, Abe Lincoln Ellington? Was it B, Edward Kennedy Ellington? Was it C, Frederick Douglass Ellington? Or D, Martin Luther Ellington? Correct answer? Answer B, Edward Kennedy Ellington. As noted by Scott Yano in a January 29, 2021 article in biography.com, while Edward Kennedy Ellington was given the nickname of Duke early in life due to his suave nature and classy manners, he was also called Dumpy by some of his sidemen due to his eating habits. Ellington always did his best to look good, but he had a potentially huge appetite that led trombonist Tricky Sam Nanton to once say, "He's a genius, all right, but Jesus, how he eats." During periods when he was eating excessively, he always loved good food, Ellington knew just the right clothes to wear that could keep him looking slim, no matter what his weight. Ellington kept his band sound fresh, transcending the different eras of jazz. Jazz's evolution moved so quickly from 1920 to 1970 that if a band stood still musically for more than 5 years, it would fall behind the times and sound dated. Most ensembles of the 1920s were largely obsolete by the swing era of the 1930s, and nearly all of the swing bands fell out of favor by the late 1940s, when bebop had become the mainstream. However, Ellington bucked all the trends, and whether it was 1926, 1943, 1956, or 1973, his orchestra ranked among the top five in modern jazz scene of the era. No other ensemble sounded so fresh, relevant, and groundbreaking for such a long period of time. He simply created the music that he believed in, regularly rearranging the most popular numbers, so Mood Indigo, Take the A-Train, and It Don't Mean a Thing If It Ain't Got That Swing, still sounded modern decades after they were composed. And the answer to our second question? It was on this day back in 1976 that singer Bruce Springsteen did what? Was it A, he drove his motorcycle up three flights of stairs in the Washington Monument? Was it B, he jumped the fence at Graceland in an attempt to see his idol Elvis Presley? Was it C, gave a free concert for the charity event called Farm Aid? Or was it D, recorded his hit album Born in the USA? Correct answer? Answer B, he jumped the fence at Graceland to see Elvis. As noted in Graceland.com, on the night of April 29, 1976, Bruce Springsteen performed in Memphis to support his album Born to Run. Sometime after the show, either late on April 29 or early April 30th, he decided to pass by Elvis Presley's Graceland. As legend has it, he saw lights on and decided he wanted to meet Elvis Presley. He jumped the wall, ran up the hill to the mansion where he was stopped by security guards at the front door. Elvis wasn't even home, and Springsteen was politely escorted off the property. AllMusic.com notes that Springsteen's album, Born in the USA, was released 8 years after this Graceland caper, back in 1984. That album hit number one, threw off seven top ten hits, including Dancing in the Dark, which earned Springsteen his first Grammy Award for Best Male Rock Vocal Performance and sold 15 million copies. So let's close out today's program with Duke Ellington's Take the A Train. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.